Welcome to this week's episode of Azentuary. We left off last time as you guys were making your way through a crevice deep in the rock under a great mountain that connected worlds on the first layer of Tartarus. This, you were told, takes you down to the next layer. And it appears to have. For you walk out, you exit this cave into a lush valley teeming with vibrant plant life. A red jungle stretches as far as you can see before you. There is a path cut from the entrance slash exit of the cave into the jungle, and almost immediately you notice a foul wind is blowing. Stank of rot and decay is all around you. It's filling your nose. And you can tell, it's coming from that jungle.
Awesome. That's not ominous at all.
Is it a man-made filth?
Let's run. As far as you can tell, no.
Yeah.
Alright, so at the end of the last episode, Castro's healed me, right?
Yes.
I got a little alpha.
No, I think I was the most hurt. So I think you healed
alpha
me.
Alpha didn't take any hits.
I know healing was performed. I listened to
that. I'm pretty sure that was on me. Is anyone else hurt? So Alpha seems to be at full.
Yeah, all Alpha did was just.
Ray is now like 21 hits.
Okay. Let's see. Ooh, you know what? But we've expended spell slots. We should probably take a rest before we get down in that jungle, I would think.
Mayhaps.
Okay, you're gonna set up like a little camp here just inside the cave entrance?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably safest.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of like the neutral zone. You're kind of between worlds.
Perfect. I like that. And, you know, maybe it's less stanky.
Gonna take a ride into the neutral zone.
I'll definitely say, I'll say that the cave does provide a bit of protection.
Yep, let's stay in the cave then.
Cool. All right, well, I'd say you have a successful rest. You know, go ahead and I don't think anything will happen there. I don't see a reason for anything to even. I don't see a reason for me to even roll for anything.
Perfect.
Okay. We did a smart move. That's odd.
Yeah, you know, we've lived this long. If we were complete idiots, we probably wouldn't have managed to survive. True. We have a modicum of intelligence sometimes.
Sometimes.
Very rarely.
All right. So next morning, Dane surveys the dank forest, the dank jungle. Does he have? I'm guessing he doesn't. I'm just trying to think of if there's something I can do to kind of cover up my nose so I don't have to smell this this rot. And
you don't even have a shirt anymore.
What'd you say, Alpha?
Your spare shirt was used to shove something into a cube last time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much gone, so I didn't even really think about that. All right, well, I guess I'll just have to...
Things are always rotting in forests. Get over it, Dane.
This is a different kind of smell there, Castros.
It's rotting and festering.
Anyway, so does this smell more like your tip, like rotting vegetation, or does it smell more like rotting meat?
Let's say rotting meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
There's a difference. Okay.
What do you mean? It doesn't...
Things in the forest.
Yeah, exactly. Things are dying in the forest.
There is a distinct... Yeah, yeah, okay.
What do you know, farm boy?
So, I've walked through a forest, and I've walked through a necropsy lab at the OSU labs, and I can tell you there is a world of difference in those smells.
Ah, but have you walked through a botanical garden with a corpse flower blooming?
I have not.
Don't.
So, neither have I, but nor have I ever wanted to. Having experienced durian was enough for me in this world.
Durian is pleasant in comparison.
Corpse flower smells like a rotting body, does it?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, all right. So... Okay.
All right, so we go through the forest of corpse flowers.
Okay, so you go down and start following the path, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise you risk getting lost.
All right, well, so this path is not like the yellow brick road where you can all be in a line. You have to stay relatively compact if you're going to stay on the road. So maybe two abreast at the most.
Okay, well, I figured we'd be going single file, so I guess two abreast is better.
All right, single file is acceptable. I mean, it definitely would keep you more centered on the path, you know, give you room to swing your arms, maybe twiddle your axes, you know, spin it around as you walk.
Okay, sounds good. Single file.
All right, so let's see. Let's get an order here. Who is in front?
Probably Dane.
Yeah, I would assume Dane.
Okay.
Alpha tends to take up the rear.
All right.
Yes, so barrel rolls behind Dane.
Cool. Well, that puts Ray in the middle. Nice. Okay. So, we will start with Dane. I would just like you to make a perception check.
Oh, no. Not a perception check.
Oh.
Actually having me roll for stuff? Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, that's better. 11.
Something catches your eye in the distance. Just a little bit of movement between trees. A flicker of light, but nothing major.
All right.
Now, Alpha... You make a perception check.
Uh-oh. Do I actually have any bonuses to my perception?
I mean, it's intelligence, isn't it?
Oh.
It's wisdom.
Yeah. Alpha actually has decent perception. Wow. Okay. Sometimes I forget just how wise Alpha is. But despite all my benefits, he gets an 11. He's very distracted by the curious nature.
So similarly, you see movement paralleling you, just nothing you can make out other than a couple of leaves like rustle one way then another.
Alright, well Dane nudges Kastros and says, "Hey Kastros, I thought I saw something. Did you see something?"
"I don't know, where do you see it?"
I point off where I saw something.
15.
You squint your eyes and watch, and you say, "Yeah, there's definitely something moving there. It is definitely ahead of us."
Yes, there's definitely something there.
Alright, well, Dane says, "Alright, guys, let's, be on the lookout here. Very few things have ever come upon us and thrown us a cupcake party."
I hope they did, though. That'd be nice.
Hold on. So we see the general movement, or do we see, like, a center to this movement area?
So imagine, like, when you're in the forest and there's deer moving through, and you can see the effect of them, like, brushing the plants and stuff, but you don't actually see them.
No easy target for anything.
Nope. I mean, I could just cast Fireball at something, but, you know.
That'd be a bad idea.
Yeah, I prefer not to shoot before I actually know what I'm aiming at. Because you never know. It could be someone offering me cupcakes.
No one offers you cupcakes in D&D, Dane.
First time for everything.
Exactly. Or the bunny lad who makes the cookies. Yes, Morton. She's sending you a bunny with cookies.
That wasn't creepy at all. Anyway.
Oh yeah, you let them go, and they can go real children under the corn on you if you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't worry, my kids do it too. That's why I had to stop them watching the movie Legend.
Is that the one with Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in like ages. I only saw it once.
We have it if you ever want to watch it. Anyway, back to what we were doing before we digressed. So, you had poked Kastros. Kastros like, yep, there's something there. You guys continue to walk, and you suddenly don't notice the movement. You're like, huh, that kind of went away. Interesting.
Yeah, that's odd. Something bad is going to happen very soon.
Most likely.
You know what? Ray's just going to cast Pass Without Trace.
Okay.
Might be a dumb move to do right now, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm with my companions.
How often are you going to roll in that one?
That's 19.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thankfully, it's successful.
Alrighty.
Alright, so we continue walking.
Awesome. Well, you are walking, and all of a sudden, you hear a horrific scream, and everyone except Kastros needs to make a constitution save.
Oh. Why not me? Is it infernal Tiefling. Stuff? Tiefling.
Oh, wow.
God damn it.
I forgot a 5.
Ooh.
Hey, do we get to re-roll that since we're together?
No.
No. Okay. I got a 6.
Ray got a 10.
Say, what'd you say?
Ray got a 19.
Ah, excellent.
It's the day of bad rolls, it seems.
I for some reason, Ray's just didn't come through at first, so that's why I had to ask. So, let's see. Alright, so. The three of... So, Dane and Alpha, you both basically get knocked off your feet. You fall to your knees, holding your hands over your ears. I guess, Alpha, where your ear holes would be. And
he has earish structures. I mean, ears have a function.
Okay, fair enough. So, but you are stunned at the moment, which means, in this case, it is actually a effect. You can't move and can maybe faintly speak for the next... Oh, what is that? I gotta roll for that. 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So you have that, and alright, so Ray and Kastros, you just both heard this just shrill, high-pitched screech, and you're looking around, you see those guys go down, and at that time, you see this thing flying overhead, searching eyes back and forth, winged, large, maybe 6 feet long, 12 foot diameter wings, or yeah, diameter wingspan. And its eyes are looking back and forth, but it can't find you. It can't see you because of that pass without a trace.
Nature check!
Is this a frightened condition?
It is not. No. That's a whole different condition set.
The nature check was a 24.
You do not recognize it, but you feel like this was probably something that started on the material plane and then was warped and twisted and became something almost demonic in this realm.
Mm.
It flies back behind you, and though it can't see you, it's searching, lands just above where, let's say, Alpha is on the ground, but it's perched up on a tree and it's looking down at you. Like I said, still can't see you.
Well, folks, we have two options here. Either we can fight this thing, or we can run. Fight or flight, what's it gonna be?
Neither. Mainly because Dane and Alpha can't move right now.
Yeah.
We're stuck for the next 5 minutes. So, I honestly think that the best move is right now just to stay where we are and, not make any sounds, not do anything. At least until Dane and Alpha have recovered. I mean, we've got Pass Without a Trace, so it can't detect us.
True, unless it uses magical means, which we have no idea if it can do or not.
Well, if it manages to launch an attack, then we'll have to deal with it. But right now, keep in mind that you and Casseros are the only two that are going to be able to fight.
That's fine.
Casseros, what do you think we should do?
I say probably not fight it, but if it attacks us, get ready. I mean, you should prepare your bow, just in case. Keep it locked.
We'll just be cautious and wait it out, I guess.
Cool. As you're waiting, Actually, here, I'm going to do just a quick compare. Someone just, let's say, Alpha was the one that saw the kind of other thing behind. Alpha, roll me a straight d20 and just tell me what you get.
Alrighty. Nine.
Okay, that loses to my roll. So.
Of course it does.
Well, I rolled a 12, sorry. I didn't know. So,
I know.
Anyway, you see this thing kind of work its way out of the brush, just kind of poking its head around. It's kind of like a large ant with a big bony proboscis on it. It kind of sticks its head out and it looks around. It also can't see you. But the creature up top sees it and swoops down. It pulls back, and as it disappears, you guys see there's some kind of a dusty powder falling off the wings of the kind of vulture-looking creature as it flies overhead and down the road in front of you.
Like a moth.
Yeah, so really quick, let me double check this.
I like to make dumb decisions.
Alright, so now I need you guys to make a constitution save.
All of us?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't roll as well that time. That was a 7.
Ray got a 19.
I actually got 21. It's my first decent roll.
Ray got a 19 again.
19. Wow.
Dane got a 3.
Okay. So, Dane and Casseros, let me get to the right thing. You take it is. Get the right die. 6 poison damage as you breathe in these particles and they just start burning down your throat.
So I shouldn't taste the dust.
Well, you taste it, but for some reason you're able to kind of resist it.
Huh. Dude, if I ingest enough of this dust, I'll just become immune to its poison entirely.
Oh, I think Alpha's naturally immune to poison anyway.
Or you could die.
Well, yeah, but what if I build up an intolerance to it? Then I'll be unstoppable!
Intolerance, yes.
Oh. I meant tolerance.
Well, anyway. Is Alpha immune?
I think, yeah, Warforged are immune to Warforged poison.
Immune to poison, of course. Okay.
Don't I have Dwarven Resilience versus poison?
Ah, so then it's just half damage immediately.
Oh, well, thank God. 6 So for me, that's just 3. That's better.
Yes.
That makes me feel better.
I just have resistance against fire.
So that proboscis creature kind of had peeled back and it pokes its head out again and looks around, doesn't see anything. And then disappears into the bush, and you kind of see some rustling heading off over to the side.
Oh, fantastic.
All right. So the flying creature has flown away. You guys just going to chill out for a couple minutes?
Well, I kind of have to since I can't move.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but you do have 2 party members who can, and I didn't know if they were going to do something else.
Nah, we'll just wait it out.
Yeah, we'll wait.
Okay.
I was not after dragging around, and I won't want to do it.
Fair enough. All right, so you guys...
Dragging around seems hard. Not fans of hard work around here.
You guys eventually...
How can we do hard work when we can just cast Fireball / turn into a Fire Elemental?
Yeah, there is that.
Seems reasonable.
How long does the Pass Without a Trace last?
I think upwards of an hour.
Okay.
So anyway, 5 minutes passes, I'm sure, and then we're able to move again.
Yep. All right. shake it off, and you're like, "Jeez, that was horrible."
Yeah, that sucked.
I'll ask for an hour. All right.
Okay. So you are on your way. I'm assuming down the road.
Yes.
Yep. On the road again.
Cool. Well, you make it, you know, without any issue. Nothing can see you. You know, you're able to basically cruise along. You make really good time. And you can see that this path does lead to kind of an ascending area that will take you out of this little kind of valley thing you're in and up to whatever is just beyond.
Okay.
Your Pass Without a Trace wears off before you can get there.
Yes, naturally.
You've been on this road for a while.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Feeling that slip, I guess, how would you know that it's done? Ray, does it, like, tingle away or something?
I don't think it has a particular say about that in the handbook.
Well, then it gives you room to make it up.
I feel like we just have this feeling that, like, oh, we are not as stealthy as we once were.
Druid senses tingling.
Ranger.
Ranger senses tingling.
Alright, so you feel that. You let them know, like, guys, we're no longer completely hidden.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, Dane's not exactly stealthy, so, I mean, he does his best, but...
He can be stealthy if he wants to be, but he'd probably have to steer off from the group.
Ranger, so... Dane's almost a tank.
I actually have an ability called Hide in Plain Sight, where I can actually just hide if I wanted to.
That's pretty cool.
That'd mean leaving you guys behind, and I've been too nice to do that.
So. All right. So, no, all right, well, I guess you just acknowledge that, okay, you're no longer hidden, you keep on walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not much else.
Well, from, let me see, let me get to the right thing here. You suddenly hear a kind of drone sound, like a just kind of a wah, you know, like almost like someone is playing a didgeridoo that makes the you want to like scratch an itch that's inside your ear.
How fun. This doesn't seem good. Nature check? I'm kidding.
You don't see anything. You hear it, and it gets louder and louder, and you realize that it's coming from relatively close to you, and
a good
all of a sudden, everyone has to make a constitution check.
Constitution? Holy crap, 9.
Ray got an 11.
Where'd you go? There.
12.
So, it...
7. No, 6. Sorry, 6.
It's... No, 7. I have a set of creatures that I'm using for this biome, and this set of creatures all for some reason has things that use constitution checks.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, it would be a different story if we weren't all rolling so horribly right now.
I call for a recount. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So, yeah, we all rolled crappy.
Okay. Yes, and so, Kasros, you particularly look around and you see everyone just kind of start holding their heads as that drone gets louder and louder. You're hearing it too, but when you put your hands up to your ears, you're able to kind of stop it. And as you are like shaking your head, trying to be done with it, you see everyone simultaneously fall to the ground unconscious.
Well, that's not good. Yeah, that isn't good. All right. Question, do you think an earth elemental could carry all three of my companions?
Yes.
Cool, because earth elementals also have a strength of +5 and a constitution of +5 and are immune to poison and are immune to exhaustion, paralyzed, petrified, poison, and unconscious.
Wow.
So that's
impressive.
I'd essentially be completely, like, good in this biome. I'd be able to walk through and nothing bad would really happen to me, so.
How long does that shift last?
Normal wild shape time, which I forget what it is. One sec.
Probably an hour or two.
About 2 hours. Wait, actually, I think it's something specific. That changes over time. I don't remember. One sec.
You know, I swear, I am going to get a D20 that is nothing but 15s and up.
Could just roll a 1D6 and just have a +14 on everything.
Huh. Well, yeah. There you go.
There is a system, I think it's one of the Grupp systems, that uses 2D6 for basically everything. They don't use any other dice.
Oh, dope. So like, I can stay as an earth elemental for 6 hours. It's half my druid level rounded down.
Oh, nice.
So I would just tromp on through this biome as carrying all of you as an earth elemental for 6 hours.
So Hold on. So they fall unconscious, and you're just like, damn it! And suddenly morph into an earth elemental, pick them all up, and just start basically booking it down the path.
I was gonna look at them, I'm like...
morph into...
Fine! And then just become rocky and stony, and I grow, and I just scoop them all up, give a big earthy sigh, and start trudging on down the road.
Okay.
The speed of an earth elemental.
Hmm?
Speed. The speed.
That's a good question.
30 feet. Actually, no, that's my current speed as a druid. That's not too bad. I can technically also burrow for 30 feet, but I don't think I can do that very well with you in my arms.
No, I don't think so.
You can just, like, use Alpha's rope and strap us to your back and then just start burrowing.
Oh, God. Well... Alright. So, it doesn't take too long after you guys fall unconscious. You wake up and you're being carried by this big rocky thing, and you're just like, ah.
Alright. Dane's like, ah. Hey, put me down.
I just oblige. I just drop him on his butt.
Alright, what do Alpha and Ray do?
I suppose... pops off, I guess. Gives a little tap.
Sorry, I was half paying attention. How much time had passed until they became conscious again?
Oh, not too long. Let's call it, like, 10-15 minutes.
Oh, cool. So I'll just stay as Nerf Elemental for a while, because Elementals take up both my uses of Wild Shape, so I might as well use it to its fullest.
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Yeah.
I also have Tremor Sense. I don't know what that does, but if that comes into play, I have Tremor Sense for 60 feet.
So you can sense, like...
I sent the stats in the chat.
I see that. So... we'll say Tremor Sense is you can tell if there's like a Graboid coming for you.
Cool. Is there a Graboid coming for me?
No, you're totally safe. I just thought it would be funny to say that. So, you actually find that in your Earth, possibly as a result of your Earth Elemental form, that your whole group is being left alone. In fact, it seems like the creatures of this area are giving you quite a wide berth.
Hmm.
Huh, they don't like rocks?
Well, they probably don't like the just a huge rocky creature that could probably beat the crap out of them.
Hopping on down.
Yeah. This big brick wall just running amok.
Yeah, so they're kind of just giving you guys space and staying away.
I am a natural ward.
Yep. You're a walking ward.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you guys continue... you guys continue to ascend, and upon reaching the top of the path, basically where it crests and you can walk over, the wild shape comes to an end, and Kasros reverts back to his normal self. And before you see a meadow, a plain, a vast grassland. And it swings in the wind, the path continues on, and at first as you look around, you don't see anything particularly noteworthy in the distance, but... it's out there somewhere. Something is out there. You just sense it.
What do we sense? Is it just kind of a general
something.
Feel of wrongness? Is it we feel like there's some massive life form out there?
Is there a disturbance in the force? What is it? What?
I don't know. Roll for it and tell me what you get.
Okay. Am I rolling perception, or?
You tell me what you want to do, and I'll tell you. Like, what are you looking for? What are you wanting to do right now?
I know what I can do. I'm going to use Alpha's knowledge of religions to see if he has any knowledge of what might be lying in this area. And that's a nat 20.
Good freaking lord. Are you kidding me?
It's the only good roll of the day, and it happens to be a nat 20.
That's true. He hasn't rolled well all night.
Alright. Fine. Alright, you look out along these plains.
Bear in mind, it's a religious check, so it's going to be limited to like general religious knowledge of the area.
Yes, I realize that, but you're like channeling. You're basically channeling, I don't know, information from Gond, if that makes sense. Like basically, you're praying and saying like, there's knowledge here. I should know these things. You know, grant me your divine insight into whatever this is. And from that, you get a word, and that's Grolantor. And from that, you're able to look around and just get a feeling of this area. And that you say that what you feel is the presence of a foreign pantheon. You feel that this is the place of the gods of the giants. That all around you is extreme danger. That all of the grass is a weapon. And that somewhere around here you could find Grolantor himself, which is truly terrifying, because you turn and you look at Dane and realize there is nothing he hates more than dwarves.
Uh-oh.
This seems like it'll go and do... Yeah, this seems like a swell.
Okay.
Alpha conveys this.
Who is Grolantor?
He's the giant god of the hunt. Basically the peak of their pantheon.
Ah, okay. Is there some reason why he hates dwarves so much?
He's... I don't know. Not that he could articulate. He probably... like he's the type that probably could be smart if he wanted to, but he much prefers just being stupid.
Oh, got it. Okay, so he's probably against critical race theory then.
Oh, totally. especially critical dwarf theory. He's absolutely despised with it.
All right. So.
But he does like demons.
He likes what?
He likes demons.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he'll love demons, me.
Demons, devils, whatever, because they come to make deals with him.
Dude, I can just pretend to come and make a deal with him.
Got,
pretend in quotations.
You've got nothing to barter with.
I have my soul. My soul's perfectly decent.
Anyway, alright, so how is there a way around this plane? These sets of planes? I mean, is it like ringed by mountains? Is it just stretched as far as the eye can see?
So Alpha, since I will just continue with his check, because that was amazing, it tells you that you are on a world, and it's they're like Russian nesting dolls. Each world is inside the previous one, so you have to go down world to world. And it's not like a plane you can just jump off of. You have to find the spot that takes you down to the next sphere.
Okay. Doesn't So this grassland, is that what you're saying? Is that kind of a different world from the forest then?
From the jungle?
Yeah.
No, you're still on the same planet, the same plane. Okay. You just moved from one part of it to another part.
All right. So I guess my question is just staying up there and looking out over these grasslands. Do I see... I mean, obviously you've got this forest that's behind us. What do I see around to, like, my right and my left? Is it just, like, basically kind of a dividing line where it goes forest and then grasslands, or are the grasslands ringed by mountains?
See any mountains. You don't see any mountains at all from here. You see the plains in front of you, the valley behind you, which is almost like a big bowl that comes up, and you just stepped over the rim into this plain.
Okay. Got it.
And of course the path that continues on in front of you.
Oh, so the path goes through the grass?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't necessarily have to walk through the grass where every blade of grass is a weapon against us.
No, you don't have to walk through the grass. There's a path that continues on. It definitely looks well used, well maintained. Like, you know, it's something that someone obviously, as the grass begins to grow onto it, they remove it.
Okay, all right. How long were we in that jungle?
At least 7 hours.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably at least 8 hours, actually.
Mm-hmm. So I figured we'd pass without a trace for 1 hour and the wild shape for 6, so...
Yeah, okay. So, being as that Ray has used up, you know, one of her spell slots, and Kastros has used up both of his wild shape spell slots, maybe we should just kind of camp on this ridge here, kind of regenerate our spells before we head back into and go up against the god of the giants.
That might be a good idea.
The giant god of the hunt.
If you even end up going that way, you guys have been pretty successfully avoiding most of my map write-ups. Like, you'll make a choice to go some other direction and be like, well, so much for those guys.
Yeah.
I'm really good at doing that for some
reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in all fairness, that's kind of a survival tactic of ours, because we have no luck really when it comes to dice rolling, and
given our rolls tonight, it's probably good that we're not actually in combat.
Right. And our DM really seems pretty lucky with his dice rolling, you know, say quite a bit of the time. So, you know, probably a good thing we are a little unorthodox.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So yeah, I think camping here for the night would probably be really good. And then that way Kastros is up to full, Ray is up to full before we tackle whatever next hell this plane is going to throw at us.
That sounds like a pretty good plan.
All right.
I don't like the way you ominously said that.
Well, I was just thinking, so you guys are going to set up camp. Who's going to be basically your first watch? Because, you know, if you're going to do a long rest, you got to have watches and everything else.
I don't trust this.
Dane, I'll do first watch.
Okay. So you get everything set up. Did you guys build a fire or anything? Yeah, actually, probably don't have wood available, so I guess you're just kind of trying to rest here.
Yeah, I think it's a cold camp.
Hang on.
We don't want to draw attention to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Maybe fire will drive away the creatures.
Or maybe
rock drew them away.
Or maybe they will attract them. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah, so we should find out. I'm kidding.
All right. Well, we will start then with Dane. Roll me a 1d20.
No. Nat 20.
Sweet. Well, then absolutely no problems. You get through your watch, everything goes perfectly smoothly, and you don't hear a peep in the world. In fact, you just kind of bliss out. You're like, I'm in a hell realm, but I'm just chill.
Yeah, that was probably my one, you know, good roll of the night, so I wasted it on a campfire watch. But yeah, whatever. It's all good. A lot better than that one.
Exactly. So, who's up second?
I mean, Castors could probably take it.
Sure. Alright, Dane goes and wakes up Castros, and you guys trade places. Castros, you're just kind of chilling there, and roll me a 1d20.
13.
Nice. You think you might hear something off in the distance, but it kind of moves the other way, kind of away from you, so you're just like, cool, this place is interesting. Nice. Alright. So number three goes to, who is that, Ray or Alpha?
Probably
I'm guessing, Ray. Probably Ray, because I'm guessing my luck is going to cause a an issue.
In his watch. Oh no, now it's all on down to me.
Alright, Ray. So you're sitting there, you kinda sit up, you look around, and give me your 1d20.
I'm scared. I'm gonna roll badly. It's a 3.
You're screwed either way.
You hear kind of a shuffle shake in the distance. It's kind of a weird, like a boom-ch, boom-ch, but all almost like scraping, if that makes any sense.
This doesn't seem good.
And as you are sitting there, looking around, kind of trying to see whatever it is, at the edge of your vision, you catch a large body. There's no clothes visible that you can see, but it's kind of distorted, twisted, hunched over, and it keeps moving down the path closer and closer to you. Doesn't seem to be aware of you. It's just walking your way.
I just had a rest, but feel like I don't know. So basically, two options: wake up my companions and we fight this thing, or I cast Pass Without a Trace.
Or, you know, you wake us up and we move off the path, kind of hide.
Alrighty.
I mean, that's also an option.
Or I could use my hide in plain sight and leave y'all for dead.
Yeah, or you could do that.
Now, I'll wake you guys up. Alright, guys. Got a situation. Either we fight or we fight or flight. What's it gonna be, fellas?
Nature check!
Okay. What do you want to check in nature?
I think she was kidding.
How can I just evaluate how strong this thing would be, ish?
Oh, just kind of from your knowledge of like musculature and size and stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
Nature or investigation?
I liked your argument for nature, but either one, whatever. Yeah, either one would be fine.
I'll take nature. It rolled off the table.
Darn.
19.
Strong. You look at it, you say, wow, that thing is very strong.
Okay. I say we flight. With an L.
Alright, well, Dane's first reaction is to kind of drop back down below the lip of the bowl and just kind of move off the path into the trees and then just kind of hunker down and see what happens.
That works.
Okay. As you hunker down, some of the leaves brush across your face and you feel it start burning. There's whatever it is that touched you, and you take 2 acid damage where it made contact with your flesh.
Okay.
Everything is so pleasant in this biome.
Right? So had I rest, so I've only got 4 hours of sleep, so I probably am not healed, right?
Correct.
Ugh. Damn it. Alright. He said, what? How many acid? 2? 4?
2.
2. Okay. Alright. Okay. Is that everybody or just me?
Well, you, because you jumped. You're the one that told me you jumped into the vegetation.
No, I said that was my proposal, that we all as a party.
Oh, as a party. I thought you just did it. No, okay. Oh, okay. Well, you made the proposal, so if you actually do it, you'll take the 2 acid damage. If you don't do it, you can ignore it.
Fine. I'll follow Dane and therefore take the 2 acid.
What about you, Ray?
Oh, no, it's 1d4 per person. I just rolled a 2 for him. I'll roll again for you.
Oh, okay.
Ray will dab into the bushes and then use her ability of hide in plain sight just in case.
Well, you could probably hide in plain sight without jumping into the bushes if the rest of us are in the bushes.
I think inside I need at least to be in, like, foliage.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, so for you, I rolled a 4, so you take 4 acid damage.
So Castros takes 4?
Yep. And the next roll was a 3 for if anyone follows.
So we'll follow.
Okay.
And damage to Alpha.
So for hiding plain sight, I just need access to mud and foliage, and then I can make a disguise for myself.
Okay. Well, you have mud from the ground, and here, I'll roll for you grabbing the foliage. You take 1 damage.
Alrighty. And then I get a plus 10 bonus to dexterity stealth checks. For as long as I don't move.
Impressive.
So I'll just do that and just lean up against a tree. Or not touching the tree. Stand somewhere where I'm not completely obvious and just hide in plain sight.
Cool. Well, you walk, you hide there and it takes him a little while to shamble up and through, and everyone in that time, you know, you're feeling the burn, you know, literally being burned by the acid, and this creature hobbles by you and down into the jungle beyond. It's, like I said, it's big and it's ugly.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it. Alright. Well, the minute he's out of, you know, hearing, we scramble back out of the forest and back onto the path.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And just for the simplicity of it, since you guys are in there for long enough for him to get through, you also take, everyone just takes 2 as a general burn damage from being in there, except for Ray, who is just, you know, standing with a branch over his face, her face.
Yeah, I'm the cool one.
All right, well, that was a That was a failed long rest attempt.
We want to try again.
Oh, we can keep resting. Need a couple more hours, right?
Yeah,
let's do that.
Cool. Well, you guys all settle back down, and I guess, what, it's Alpha's turn?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, hey, Alpha, let's see if anything comes up on yours.
All right, 14.
Oh, I don't know. What are we going to have happen here? So, as you are... as you are chilling out, I gotta roll for one of these random guys real quick. You notice off in the distance a small creature. It looks almost like a pig, but it's got like, how do I describe this? Almost like hyena features. You know, like a Klingon targ.
Okay.
It definitely gets your attention, and you pop up and start taking a look at it.
Okay, does it seem particularly dangerous?
It doesn't look particularly friendly. I mean, it's very, it looks fierce. I'm curious what you want to do.
Hello.
I'm just debating whether or not to engage it solo in order to let the party rest, or like wake everyone up.
Is it heading in our direction?
It's kind of wandering around. It seems to be able to walk through the grass without issue.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I think... say this. I'm going to keep an eye on it if it starts coming close.
Sure. It keeps rooting around, and let me roll this. It is heading roughly, kind of roughly in your direction, but kind of maybe off to the side of it a bit. Like, it's looks like it's rooting around. It's like looking for food, and you know, not just wandering looking for people. Like it looks like it's there on a mission.
Okay. Well, just keep an eye on it as long as possible.
Okay.
It seems like it's going to start threatening the party, then engage. But yeah, for now, just keep an eye. Let the people rest.
Okay. Well, it. You know, wanders around for a while, and let's see, your shift's like 2 hours, so at the first hour it's just kind of wandering around, not doing much of anything, and then it does start working its way kind of towards you. It tips its head back and kind of sniffs into the wind, and it's trying, you could tell it's kind of like trying to figure out if there's something else there. So then it starts moving more or less in your direction.
Alright. Still gonna let the party rest, but ready himself for to attack if it gets like seems like it's gonna be threatening or close.
Sure. I mean, it is getting close. It's you know, walking nearer to you.
So far, hasn't actually, you know, attacked or anything.
True. Cool. So it goes ahead and walks up, and it looks like it's sniffing. You know, it's trying to figure out if there's something there, and eventually, kind of, you can't tell if it can see you. It does appears to it probably doesn't have the best eyesight, but it starts going more or less directly to you, sniffing.
All right. Still hasn't actually done anything threatening, so still preparing.
Okay. So it walks up and starts, like, you know, sniffing your leg, kind of, you know, maybe nosing it just a little. Like, not sure, looking around. Goes down and starts sniffing your hairy feet. And kind of...
Alpha has hairy feet?
Yeah, he's got the rabbit feet from the jackrabbit thing.
Okay.
And it starts to... It opens its mouth like it's going to try and kind of nibble on you a little.
Move the feet out of the way.
It startles back for a sec. But, and then kind of...
He says... But Alpha also says, no. Does the creature understand any language?
Let me see. At that int, I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I mean, we have a rule for not being able to read and write, so I think at this level I'll say that no, it does not have language. So
never mind. Alpha can't communicate with it. Dang.
No. It startles away for a second, and it kind of starts going over to the side, sniffing around, and we'll just say the closest one over. Ray. So it starts, like, sniffing Ray's back, who's laying down, trying to rest. And it kind of goes to start kind of licking, kind of taking a taste of his, let's say, quiver.
Okay, just licking the quiver?
Yeah.
All right. This could be interesting. Not going to stop it. I mean, I'm curious what might happen if it hits one of the arrows. That count as a random occurrence when it hits one of the arrows?
Sure, why not? Alright, yeah, let's do this. I'll say that it pulls an arrow out in its biting, and I'm just gonna roll. Let me grab my D100 here. Alright.
I kind of like this big old idiot. It's cute in a way.
Oh, 8. Okay. Sorry, this is just too funny. I need to grab a 1d8. Alright. It pulls out an arrow which snaps, and you all of a sudden, I guess Alpha, he's the one that's watching, sees a bright flash where an arc of lightning hits everything in a 10-foot radius, so itself, which it gets shocked by, and goes running as fast as it can down the road. Ray, I'm assuming... Actually, I'm just going to assume everyone is within a 10-foot radius at this point.
Yeah, because we're all kind of just...
That's the fair assumption.
Sitting there.
Okay. Well, so everyone takes 4 lightning damage. Because it was a shock arrow that was pulled and popped, and so everyone got an immediate little shock.
Alpha just watches, after he kind of shakes off the shock, just watches the creature running away and says, curious.
Well, we're now all awake.
You don't know that. I roll Constitution to see if I can stay asleep.
Do it.
Out of spot. I rolled an 8.
Yeah, it wake you up. Yeah, that woke you up.
Darn.
Alpha just turns back to them and says, "Nothing to see here. Go back to sleep."
Shh.
Ray's just turn over and say, "Alpha, I expect an explanation in the morning."
Yeah.
Alpha just All right. shrugs. Goes back to watching.
Okay, so I guess we try to go back to sleep.
Might as well, why not?
Alright, well, you go back.
We're gonna get the long and rest in if it takes like years, damn it.
Right. Next episode, we're still trying to get a long rest in.
Yeah, Alpha's the only one that's gonna be hurting after this because he's now what, 7 points down? Between the lightning and the acid? Everyone else should be well, nicely rested up.
Well, I mean,
I'm 16 down.
Yeah, so far Dane is 12 down.
Ray is 5 down.
You guys are resting up, so you can, you know, heal a bit as you're resting.
Well, yeah, but we haven't actually gotten a full rest in yet. We keep getting woken back up.
Like I said, go back to sleep. And to see here.
We're working on it.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think you guys, let's say you successfully make it through this rest.
We've suffered enough.
Yeah, I think it's fair. We went through everyone. We had some good rolls. It was pretty funny. I really didn't know how that was going to work out, and I think it worked out great.
I guess. All right.
Everyone gets a long rest, even Alpha.
Yes, even Alpha.
Yay.
All right, well. Okay, yeah, if we'd managed to kill that pig thing, Dane's going to skin it where it's skinned, so maybe he wouldn't look like a dwarf and might not be affected by the grass.
I think wearing fur makes you look even more like a dwarf.
Well, if I wear that thing's skin, it'd make me look like that pig, possibly.
Unless it's really dumb.
Well, you know, God of the Giants, how smart can you be? All right. Anyway, so I guess since we've got no other real option, we're going to continue on that path.
All right. Well, you go walking, and eventually you get to a point where there is a fork in the road. This one goes 3 different directions. And just for simplicity, we'll just say, oh god, how are we going to say this? Say you were traveling north and you can now go east, west, or continue north. There are no directions like that. I'm just...
We're trying to end up down in the plain of Carcery. We're looking for a frozen toenail of a titan.
Does our ranger have any insights into where we should go?
Well, let me see.
Short answer, no.
Quiet down already, I'm trying.
Okay, what are you trying?
Well, my guess is probably not, because we're not even in a forest anymore. We're in a plains, which is not her bailiwick.
Other than that, I only and it's only really helpful. Like, I remain alert to danger. That's about it. And we can't get lost, but we don't really know where we're going in the first place, so.
Well, but you could, if you're alert for, if you're can try and figure out, maybe you can figure out, okay, you know, east is, you know, which path might be the safest. Does Castros have an idea?
Why would I know?
You are a druid.
I climb up on a tree, like, do a big point of, like, licking my finger and putting it to the wind.
You see, it's a grassland.
I go up on, like, a rock or something and make a big point of, like, licking my finger and putting it to the wind. I give, like, a firm nod. I turn back to my party and go, I've got no clue.
I know we are in a plains.
I see grass everywhere.
I don't think my deities can reach me down here. I can't ask for guidance.
I can't really see anything that I would really have to help us out right here.
Religion check. I'm kidding.
You could try and do a nature check, I guess.
Which direction?
I don't think Alpha's religious knowledge would help much at this stage.
No, probably not.
Unless I wanted to meditate, but...
We could pick something at random, I guess, since...
Pick a direction and move.
Maybe just keep going straight?
Yeah, that would be my first thought. Just keep going north.
Joke's on us. They all directions lead to the same spot anyways.
Anyway, I think with, you know, no other ideas, we'll just keep going north.
Sure. You continue northward. Let's see, where is my northward? Ah, there it is. All right. So this path seems less worn. It almost seems like it's maintained begrudgingly, if that makes any sense. Like, it, whereas okay. The other paths were very well taken care of, like almost like a labor of love.
Oh, well, that doesn't seem encouraging, but you know,
well, I guess we'll just keep going forward.
Okay. Well, after some time, you notice a dome in the distance. One that appears to be made from the grass that surrounds you.
Okay.
How big is this dome?
It's huge. It's a... Let's see. Probably 80 feet across.
Jeez. That's a big dome.
All right. Well, keep moving forward cautiously. Okay.
Yeah, as you approach, you notice this is definitely all packed and woven grass from around you. So even the walls themselves must just be, you know, equally sharp and dangerous.
I set it on fire. I'm kidding. I'm not that much of an arsonist yet.
So does the path basically end at the dome?
It does. This path goes to it. It looks like there are maybe some little, like, small walkways around the outside. But other than that, there is nothing. It is just that dome.
Is there, like, a door?
There is, right at the front. Two large curved doors that are inset into the structure itself.
Okay.
What do we want to do? Venture in?
Yeah, I guess.
Send one person for a reconnaissance mission?
Oh, and the, another side note. The doors are not huge, but definitely larger than you would expect. Like, right. they're for someone that's bigger than you.
Yeah, okay.
Not giant size, though.
I think I would be the best suited to go, but that's only if we want to do that.
I think we should see kind of what's inside. For all I know, it might be, you know, it might lead us down into the next plane.
Grooms. Do we want to send one person to just kind of scope it out, or everybody?
Well, let's see if we can actually open the door first.
Ah, yes, the greatest trap.
All right, Adain, go open it. You have such good luck with it, after all.
Alright, Dane tries to open the door.
You find it heavy, but manageable.
Okay.
Like, it's definitely... We have 40 poppers and streamers that we just throw. You did it, Dane! You opened the door! You know, it's a big celebration.
Good job. He's grown up so fast.
And Dane's like, shh, shh, shh. We don't know what's beyond the doors here.
A doormaster.
Yeah. He might change his name to that later. regale all his grandchildren with stories of how at first he struggled to open doors, but eventually he mastered them.
I'm sure your grandchildren would be so proud of you.
Yeah, probably not.
That's why I was sarcastic.
Yeah. Shut up, granddad. You're old. You don't know anything. Anyway, all right. So the door is successfully opened. I think. I don't know. What do you guys think? I you know what? I don't like separating, so I think we should just all go in together.
Sure. Why not? Alrighty.
Cool. Well, you walk inside, and it takes a moment for your eyes to adjust. And what you see laid out before you is basically a massive, like, apothecary shop.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Nature check!
Okay.
What kind of items do we have here?
Everything you recognize, I won't even have you roll for it. I'll just tell you. You recognize stuff from everywhere. Things that were rare across the material plane and many things that could only exist within the divine realms.
Is there a shopkeeper present?
A few moments after you enter, you hear the large footsteps of what you can only assume to be the shopkeeper. He steps out from kind of behind the curtain at the back, and he is huge. He's about, oh, let me find my note, 12 feet tall, probably 5,000 pounds of just mass. He's huge. And you notice right away that he has a, how can I put this? Almost like a goat's head with a bear's jaw and four and two sets of arms. So four appendages total, two that end in pinchers and two that end in regular hands.
Well, he seems like a pleasant old chap.
Is it a... Almost seems like a Glabrezu demon.
Perhaps a Draconiquus.
But he sees you and he walks up, puts his pinchers behind his back, and leans in. Welcome to my shop, friends. How can I help you?
No, I don't know.
Hello. I want that to be my ringtone now. Just record Alpha saying hello, and then that's my ringtone. Nobody ever calls me, but it'd be nice if it did.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Just on repeat.
Hello.
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 Hello. Yeah, just over and over again. Annoy the crap out of everybody who's around me. That's what I want. Anyways, I guess I'll talk to the shopkeeper. Alrighty, sir. We're looking for the way to the next layer down. Could you possibly tell us where that's at, if you know where it is?
Oh, I could. It's a ways from here. In the meantime, why don't you see if you have see anything you like on my shelves? You seem like someone who would be interested in power.
Well, what type of currency do you have, sir? Or not from here?
I trade in all kinds of currency. Even promises, if you will.
Is this the guy I can sell my soul to?
Probably. I wouldn't recommend it, though.
Does he have the Titan's Toe?
I was going to ask. Dane pipes up. Would you happen to have the frozen toenail of a Titan from the plain of Carceri?
His eyes get big and he looks almost angry. Like, if you think you can just come in and get something like that, what?
Well, I was looking around your shop and you have such a magnificent collection of items. I figured if anybody would have something like that, it would be you.
You raise a good point. And though I have often desired the Titan's toenail for my own uses, I have never been able to find someone able to get one. I cannot travel and collect it myself.
What would you pay for one?
Well, that's the beauty of negotiation, isn't it? I could pay more than you could imagine. I could raise you to the height of a king if you so desired.
I like this guy.
Yeah, we're not really... I'm not really interested in power, though, so, you know.
But, I mean, if we're gonna get one toenail, why not try for two?
Exactly. More than one toenail. I like Alpha's thinking.
But he's kind of offering us power, and I'm thinking more, you know, monetary gain or something of equally rare value.
I'm sure we could ask for that too, but it wouldn't hurt to be rolling.
I'm not against power.
Yeah, you know how much booze that could buy us? That could buy us so much booze.
Power doesn't buy you booze.
No, he's offering us money.
He was saying power.
But he can offer us money.
Yeah, and what's wrong with power? Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't mind getting some extra strength.
If we got power, we could take the booze that we wanted.
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless. Alvin and I are the only ones thinking straight. Casper is staying good on our level.
I'm there.
Jesus.
Yeah, Dane.
What kind of power are you talking about?
Oh, all sorts of things. What is it you desire? Do you wish to command armies, legions of your kin? Perhaps those of a different race? Or maybe something more personal? Something you yourself desire just the for your own well-being? Ah, yes. The Evernock. I could grant such a thing.
See, Dane, this is great. This is a great opportunity for us.
Alpha's not against the idea of having legions. I mean, he's been trying to recruit for a long time now.
Exactly. Ray wouldn't like the extra people, though. She's not a big people person. But if she could get some extra strength on her side, she'd be down.
Physical strength? Yes, I could get you physical strength.
I feel like there's a catch to this. I'm not so trusting.
No.
Catches, we have to get the toenail.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
but
no.
I have to get the toenail first.
Well, yes,
I will,
obviously.
For strength, I can make you a deal that you do not require the toenail.
Eh. I don't really know. I don't got nothing to barter with.
Oh, you always have yourself.
I knew it. I ain't bartering myself, brother.
Well, you don't have to barter yourself now. You could barter your future self.
Ray, you are brothers with this man? No, I'm not. I don't have any siblings. Well,
I was gonna say,
maybe
I don't see the resemblance.
I haven't been home for a while. Maybe mom and pop got some new siblings. I don't know.
Anyway, sorry, sir, but I'm not interested in bartering myself. Myself is all for me, and no one else can have it.
Very well.
Would you be interested in a Titan's toenail or not?
Oh, yes, I would. Should you actually be able to get it?
Yeah, what would it be worth to you?
Oh, quite a lot. I could, like I said, do all sorts of things in exchange. What is it you desire?
Anyway, yeah, well, we'll see if we can get one, and if we can, maybe we'll come back and talk some more then.
Your proposal is acceptable.
All right, well, can you point us in the direction of Carceri?
Oh, I can, yes, the place you are wishing to go. Go back to the fork in the road down there, and from this position, take a left.
Okay.
So going east.
East. Yep. All right. Well, we will do that. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Well, do remember to come back. I have so much that I can do to help you, and I very much would like to make a deal.
Yeah, you sound like it. All right.
Bye.
I was a little bit disappointed. He was tempted by the whole Legion of Followers thing.
We can get the Legion of Followers happy. Once we get the toenail.
Fine.
Yeah, Dane leaves the dome and he's like, man, that guy really came off like some kind of a snake oil salesman.
Meanwhile, Alpha and I are like, darn it, we could have had what we wanted.
You still Alpha might just, get it.
Alpha just goes, I did not see any snake oil available amongst his wares, but perhaps we just did not look enough.
Well, there's definitely a snake in a jar. You could have probably juiced it and made oil.
True.
Hmm.
Snakes are very fatty.
Anyway, all right. So we head back down the path, and where it forks, then we turn left.
Yes. And just for fun, as you're walking down there, you hear a buzzing. It's kind of a buzz sound.
Not again.
Circling around you. This is not one you've heard before.
So you said we hear a buzzing, and then what happened?
Oh, you just hear it. I was going to see if anyone wanted to, like, try and locate it, you know, do
Ray
a...
Ray will roll for investigation or perception.
Whichever one.
Perception. Let's go with that. I'm with my companions.
God, stop using that stupid brown dice.
That is a 26.
Oh, there we go.
You catch something swooping in and really quickly push Dane out of the way and dodge down yourself as a huge mosquito narrowly misses running, you know, sticking his proboscis into him.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay.
How interesting.
All right. Do we need to roll for initiative?
Oh, it's up to you. I mean, it just buzzed through.
Oh, okay. It doesn't exactly circle back and try and take another pass at us?
Oh, it is circling back, but it's up to you guys what you want to do. Right now, it's just done a swipe, and the only people that have really engaged in any way, you now, but I mean,
basically Ray.
Yeah. So I mean, if you guys want, you can, but I'm not going to require it. You
could just Ray's
do something. Okay.
That's an 8 to hit.
8?
8.
Wow.
All the plus. Yeah. At least it wasn't that one.
Now one would have been better, then she can re-roll.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I'm guessing that doesn't hit.
No, you lick off that shot, and it just kind of buzzes off to the side, and your arrow goes flying.
Well, I'm assuming there are a lot of arrows out of range that we don't need to worry about a randomness.
No, I want to know what arrow it was, so here, I'll even roll one if you want.
I got both. Alrighty, 31 or 66.
31. Light arrow deals radiant damage instead of piercing or... whistling arrow makes a wiffle ball like sound as it flies through the air.
I guess I'll go with the whistle arrow so it'll maybe distract the mosquito.
Sure, yeah, it makes a large whew as it goes flying off and it disappears out of sight, but the mosquito doesn't seem to even notice or care.
Shoot again.
Okay.
That's a 7.
Oh, okay.
Did you have like plus 7?
I rolled a 2.
Wow.
Okay. For a ranger, she is like a really terrible shot.
Yeah, especially because I thought she had advantage on her shots, but geez.
Nah, I don't have advantage. Not exactly. Anyway, let's see what random arrow it was. It was either 71 or 7. No, 77 or 7. All
77.
Sevens.
77 or 7s. Okay. Huntress Arrow. Huntress Arrow hits with the force of a falling oak tree.
Dang.
And number 7
that one.
Is a small game broadhead. Oh, I see. Okay. So, yeah. So the other one was just a broadhead arrow that went flying off into the distance.
Huntress arrow, and the arrow flies off and hits some random poor creature and kills it.
Was that one the one selected? Was it the Huntress arrow?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, well, it hits the poor pig creature that was rummaging
around. That's what I'm going to roll for. That's what I want to roll for.
Ray's going to go sulk in the corner now.
Yep, you killed the pig.
Oh no!
It was just so in the distance, hear a pained squeal.
Yeah, there's a momentary.
Not the pig. Anyway, Ray's gonna go sulk in the corner now.
Wow. Alright, it comes buzzing down and. Hold on,
Alpha's preparing to take a swat at it if it comes into range.
Okay, go for it. It's coming into your range. It's coming right. It's coming right for you. Quick, Jimbo, thin out their numbers.
Yeah, the buzz is back down. Alpha takes a swat at the mosquito. Nat 20s.
Nice. You don't need to roll damage. I'll just tell you killed it. It has very low hit points.
just, he one punched man.
Exploded.
Mana.
He did. Mosquitoes suck.
It splatted.
Somehow realizes he has a natural enemy, just like the Rangers. The vowed enemies, mosquitoes.
Except you realize when its little body explodes upon contact with your hand, it wasn't just a mosquito, it was a mansquito.
Dun dun.
Okay.
Yeah, don't quite get that.
Mansquito? It was one of those made-for-TV sci-fi movies like 20 years ago.
Kind of like The Fly, except mosquito instead.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah, it was really lame. They even made a joke about it on Tripping the Rift, where they're like, one of the female crew members is like, "Oh yeah, I dated one of those mosquitoes years ago. I tell you, one bite and it's all over."
I bet it is.
But
well, that was a good then. Show.
Cool. What? Will you? The Rift. You. Defeated this Tripping the Rift was the name of the show. Rift. Yeah.
Was it a TV show?
Yeah, it was a computer animated TV show. God, I don't know, 2004, 2005-ish, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. 2004. It came out. Anyway, it's on for 3 seasons. Weird. So, you guys turn and start going down that path. And I think it would probably be best for a narrative perspective to just pan the camera up to the sky and say, "To be continued."
Okay. Sounds great.
Well, because the next thing I'm about to start would take at least 20-25 minutes, so I figured it's better to just stop a little early.
Yep, I agree. I think you're probably pretty smart there.
Yay.
We killed the pig. Poor pig.
To be fair, the pig did disrupt your rest, so...
So, and I didn't realize until I was posting last week's episode today, but last week's episode was episode number 52. So that's 1 year of weekly recordings.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Didn't we take like some breaks though? So it's been over a year.
We did. We took 3 breaks. Our first episode, season 2, episode 1, was like 3 weeks ago last year. We've only missed like 3 weeks for this entire run. You know, 3 episodes. So, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
And we're on the same campaign!
Do you like that? Do you like that?
I love it.
Very good. Cool. Yeah, no, it's... I'm glad you're not getting bored with it.
Oh, no, we need to... We have to finish the story. There's so much more to get to. You guys are getting so close. We have to, like... see what happens.
I was gonna say, I think we still have... It seems like we have a long way to go, because we still gotta collect the toenail... get the weapons forged, find out where Big Bad is, take care of him, get back to our time. There's a lot left to do.
Fair, but at the same time, I mean, compared to where... Let me put it this way. There may be a lot left to do, but compared to what is behind us is far less.
Well, I mean, yes, we have accomplished a lot. Strewn a lot of chaos in our wake, that's for sure.
My goal has
this is true.
Committed genocide, you know.
The little things.
Only one. The little thing.
One case of genocide and suddenly you're a genocidal maniac.
given a whole race of crazy orcs a new insight into the religion, so you know, a whole all of that.
Well, they don't call him Bob the Dock Builder. Anyway. Yeah, I thought, you know, it's been great, though, because yeah, everything is tying together really well, I think. So,
oh, great.
Everything's coming up roses.
Yeah, I mean, we only had one, and really, in that whole time, we had, like, one continuity error, so that's not bad.
That's not bad. I still think it's really going to be hilariously interesting, is the fact that that one place we went where the mural showed Rey kind of saving the world, and then having Rey miss the mosquito so many times today.
It was only twice.
She's Rey Savior, not Rey Mosquito Killer.
Yeah. There's a difference.
Well, you know, it just, I find it really, it's gonna be interesting, because with her rolls to hit, it's kind of funny.
Shut up, Dang, you're no better.
You never know what's gonna happen.
Says the dwarf who opened doors.
Yeah. Hey, I opened the last one.
Yeah, because it wasn't anything
actually happened. Locked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we call ourselves the Nat Ones for a reason.
Yeah. That's how we roll.
That's how. That's absolutely 100%.
This has been an Azentuary LLC production. Find us online at azentuary.com for character bios, merchandise, Patreon, and more. Thank you for listening.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Funny.